Welcome, everybody, to the Competition Archery Media Podcast, where we explore all things related to competition archery. I'm your host, PJ Riley, and our CAM podcast is brought to you by our fine platinum sponsors. We've got Trueball Excel, Matthews, PSE, Black Eagle, Elite, B3 Archery, and Victory. And with us, we got a special guest today, fresh off a big win at the Rushmore Rumble. We've got Robert Householder. Robert, thanks for being here.
Yes, sir, PJ. Thank you.
So the Rushmore Rumble, this tournament out in Yankton, South Dakota, basically it's the first big indoor tournament that we've seen in probably since last year, Vegas. Or no, I guess indoor nationals. I don't know. It's a big one, and we haven't seen one in a while.
Yeah, there's been a lot of shoots here recently. It's been quite some time.
So we're 4 days out from you winning this tournament. Tell us how that feels.
Still sinking in, really. Went to the shop a few minutes ago to do something, and then had about half a dozen people there that congratulated me, said they watched it and all that. So still trying to get used to that kind of stuff, too, people coming in.
Yeah. And so two-time ASA Known Pro Shooter of the Year. We've got the Hoyt Pro-Am to kick off ASA next year. But this is your biggest indoor win, correct?
It is, yes. It's really, I think, the second shoot down I've made, other than indoor nationals a few months ago. But only like my sixth indoor national tournament. So, yes, it is.
Gotcha. Well, tell me about that. Nerves, anything? I mean, you're a pretty, I think a bomb could go off next to you and you wouldn't know it, but I don't know what's happening on the inside. Tell me how you're feeling when you're up there in the shoot off.
Inside, I wish y'all could feel it. It's pretty insane. Just trying to keep it all composed and everything is very hard, but, heart rate goes up a lot. Palms start sweating, everything, It's tough, but you just try to manage it the best you can.
Yeah. Now you're out there at the end. There's Robert Householder, Jesse Broadwater, Stefan Hansen. I mean, that's got to feel. There's, you know, Stefan and Jesse. Jesse's been around forever, but how's that? How are you feeling when you see yourself? Okay, we're down to three, and here's these three guys, and all of you are just outstanding.
It feels pretty good. I know Stefan shoots the world archery stuff, and he's been ranked number one before and all that. He's a great shot. Been watching him for years. And Jesse's been around for a little bit, and he's been dominating for quite some time. And when I first got into archery, that's pretty much who I watched. And just trying to learn a few things here and there. But gotcha. It was quite something to shoot with Jesse up there, just me and him.
Now, refresh everyone's memory on how this tournament worked, what you shot the first day, what you shot the second day, and then how it progressed from there.
So on the first day, we're going to shoot 60 arrows at a five spot. It does have the Vegas rings on it with the inner edge. So we're going to shoot 60 arrows at that. And I think I missed four X's the first day. And then we turn around and shoot a regular Vegas round on the second day. And I was going good through that. I had a 29X round and then got to the 10th end and nerves got me. I hit 10-10X. So
is that right?
I'm glad I was able to shake them last three arrows in for a 900.
And there were 20 some of you that shot perfect 900s?
Yes, 20 of us. Yeah,
it was exactly 20. Okay. And then you go into the shoot off and it was kind of a different format than from like Vegas. As I was watching, it was like single arrow. Tell me about how that's doing. I mean, cause you're just normally you could just sit there, focus, shoot your arrows and everybody scores, but this had to feel different.
So it was different and felt the same, at the same time, really. The beginning of it with all 20 of us standing up there, we all shot our normal three arrows at a time. And when everybody got done, we went down and the judges called arrows and everything. When we got down to, I think, five or six of us, we went to one arrow at a time, kind of like a ASA shoot-off for the known pro guys, where they let one person shoot, they look at the target, and one person shoot, look at the target, so they kind of did it that way until all of us had got our 3 arrows off.
Yeah. And was that nerve-wracking to see that process? Or I would imagine that would get you kind of out of your rhythm. Indoors, more about rhythm.
Right. And the rhythm really wasn't changed. It actually helped me a little bit, actually slowed down a little bit, because sometimes I'll just shoot it, I'll throw my next arrow in there and pull it back. I'll get kind of ahead of myself a little bit sometimes. So it actually let me pace myself. When we got down to like the 5 or 6 guys where we were doing one person at a time and everything. So it actually helped a little bit. And we had a little break there where me and Jesse stood to the side for maybe 1 or 2 rounds. But other than that, I mean, I don't feel like that broke any kind of rhythm at all. We just went back up there and just did our thing again.
Walk me through the last end. Tell me about what was happening, what happened, how you felt. Walk us through that last end there.
So the last 2 ends, the 9th end, my first arrow when we first walked back out there was, I missed the X, so it was a 9. And then, cause we're shooting enter X for 10. So I missed the first arrow. And then after I shot that first arrow, I kind of hung my head down a little bit. Like, man, Jesse's got this. He ain't gonna miss. And then, he shot his arrow. I shot my next one. He shot his next one and then shot my third one. And then whenever he shot, he hit a 9, he missed an X, and then we're tied. And then we go to the 10th end, and I thought it was just going to go for a whole another 30 arrows right there. That'd have been awesome. But it just worked out to where I was the last one.
Gotcha. How did it feel putting that last arrow in there? Now you know you're the Rushmore Rumble champion.
That was probably the hardest arrow. To be honest, it's a great feeling, but I wish I could have went a few more rounds just to stand up there with Jesse and shoot a little bit more.
So last year at the ASA Classic, the last tournament, you needed the last arrow. I forget if it was a 12. I know you needed the last arrow to take the win over Brady Hempen. Which do you think was more nerve-wracking?
Oh man, that's hard to pick right there, because I want to say the last arrow at the ASA was maybe 43, 44 yard target. I can't remember if it was a turkey or not. I think it was. I hit it on the very low side, but both of them are probably right there equal with each other as far as nerves. when it comes down to like one shot right there to have it or to keep going, I mean, it's tough, but.
Now, do you like that? Like some people like that position. They like having it on the line there. Do you like that, or do you like coming in with more of a cushion?
I mean, a cushion is nice, but it helps to be close like that to put pressure on yourself for maybe some future situations or something like that. So, I mean, it's good both ways, but it's a lot more adrenaline when it's a lot closer, though.
Gotcha, yeah. Now, does this, we had talked before, the last time we talked, I was surprised you told me that your regular practice routine, even for 3D, is just shooting indoor. You don't really shoot at 3D targets.
No, I don't have a 3D target here at my house. I shoot at the shop 20 yards, either a Vegas target or a Lancaster target. Here recently, I was shooting the 5-spot Vegas ring target for the Rushmore Rumble. That one, shooting a couple 60 arrow rounds, trying to get ready for that. But just trying to work on form and repetition, and just shot after shot trying to repeat the same thing.
Do you think that helped you, that you don't really switch? I mean, obviously when you go into then the ASA competitions, you're shooting at 3D targets, but your practice, that's what you're shooting most of. All year round shooting those indoors, I mean, do you just see this as, okay, it's finally paying off that I shoot this thing every day?
It is. It's probably better for me that I shoot the same bow and then just change arrows, make arrows work for the bow and everything. Cause I can get very, it lets me get very comfortable with the same bow. I don't try to change my poundage too much. I try to get my holding weight and my draw length right from bow to bow, but when I set a bow up, I try to shoot that bow a lot and then just change arrows from indoor to 3D, because I shoot a very similar size arrow. I shoot a 27 for indoor and a 25, super draw 25 for 3D. So it's not a big difference, but just get a sight tape for it. And I don't change my pin. I don't change my magnification from indoor to outdoor. It's the same thing. So I'm used to looking at the same sight picture as far as with a pin. And on 3D targets, I just try to find the smallest aiming spot I can. Kind of like a little black hole in the paper target. Just find little holes, go off of arrows, go off of knocks, shadows, creases. Try to find something very small and try to shoot at that.
So which bow were you shooting in Rushmore?
I was shooting the new Matthews TRX 38 Gen 2.
Okay, gotcha. And now you'll be shooting that exact same bow next week in Foley?
Yes.
Okay. All you're going to do is change arrows. Last year, I think you were shooting the 40. Is there a reason why you switched, or tell us about that?
No, just shooting the new bow. I mean, I shot in 2019, I shot the regular 38, the first one they had, and I shot very well with it. And the 40, I mean, felt very similar. So the new 38 has the new cams on it, and it, I mean, it feels like both bows. It's a very smooth and forgiving, easy bow to shoot.
Gotcha. So this year, Matthews came out with 75% mods in their target for let-off offerings. Are you using those, or are you, what are you using?
No, I'm using the 70Vs still. I've used those for the past 2 years to get my holding weight up, close to around 20, 21 pounds. I'm holding 21 right now. So just to have everything as consistent and just feeling as close as possible to the same.
I think you told me before, you're one of those guys, you like pulling hard on that back end, especially in pressure.
Yes, it helps me a lot not relax too much. If I relax too much, my shoulders will drop. I get too lazy in my shot. So having the bow pull against me a good bit helps me stay in my shot a little bit more for myself.
Gotcha. So now here we are. So you got the big win there at Rushmore. Now next week we're going into Foley, your two-time defending known pro shooter of the year. I mean, that's one of the stoutest divisions out there. The list, I always say there's like a list of like 20 guys who could win any one of those at any weekend. I mean, it's a toss-up. How do you feel like pressure coming in now, two-time defending champ, or what's your mindset at this point?
My mindset is just to take it one target at a time like I always have. Go out there, make sure my sight tape is exactly where I want it. Still don't have a sight tape, so I got to shoot in the next couple of days and try to find one. And then when I get to Foley, go shoot the 3D practice range on Thursday. Get there a day earlier now. We have to shoot Friday mornings instead of Friday afternoon. So we have to get there a little bit earlier to shoot the 3D practice range. But just make sure my sight tape is where I want it, and then just make sure my shots are good and just stay focused, and then just try not to let the outside stuff get to me.
So you're telling me we are a week and a day away from Foley and you don't have a sight tape yet?
Yeah.
That's cutting it close. Or do you just feel comfortable? You just know you'll get it and it doesn't bother you?
Well, I mean, I'm comfortable with it. I mean, and I'll know if I'm shooting good enough at distance to get a good solid mark at like 50 and be able to find the sight tape that's working for it. But I know there's some people right now with the weather that's going on, unusual weather across Texas to Ohio and all that, just freezing cold snow and all that. Some people can't even shoot outside. So, I mean, there'll be some people that have to get a sight tape out there when they get there. But I feel good as far as I'll be able to find a sight tape that works.
I'm pretty sure all those Wisconsin guys right now, they're probably, all they're doing is shoveling.
I don't know what they're doing. I'd be inside.
We just got 10 inches. We just got 10 inches of snow this morning. So it's, it's been fun.
That's 50 degrees here.
Oh, man, don't tell me that. you had mentioned about your sight picture. So that's one of the things I wanted to ask, because you are my inspiration in that you're one of the guys that made me feel like it was okay. You don't put your pin on the dot of the, when you're shooting a Vegas spot. Tell us about your sight picture and why it's comfortable for you.
It's just, what I've gotten used to. I do hold below, just below what I want to hit. If I cover it up, Sometimes the theme gets too big sometimes, but if I cover it up, it gets, I can't see it. Yeah. So in my mind, if I can't see it, I can't hit it. So I use the very top part of my pin or my fiber to actually shoot off of. So I shoot just above my pin just so I can see exactly what I want to hit.
Right. I started doing that and I was just like, man, this just feels so much more comfortable. But I would always, you know, you always hear, if you can't hold on it, then you have target panic. And I thought, well, I feel comfortable. I don't feel like I'm doing, you know, it just feels nice.
You don't have to call it target panic. You can just call it, that's your style of shooting. Get used to it, get comfortable with it. Because if it's not comfortable, you don't want to do it. And then if it's not comfortable, then you can, I guess, call it target panic. But you want to do something that feels comfortable.
Now, when you switch to 3D, and what do you do there? If you can see a hole or a knock or something, what are you doing there?
I'm usually holding just below it. Depending on the further the target gets, it feels like I'm holding lower. But I've gotten used to how close I need to get my pin to where I want it. So it just depends. Sometimes I've shot a lot more uppers, the past couple of years because I hold low, below my, so if I hold on an upper, my pin is in the tin ring. So if I aim at a lower, my pin is sitting in the 8 ring or sometimes the small target's even a 5. So it feels a lot more comfortable for me to aim, have my pin in the tin ring and hit just a little high than it does aiming in a 5 or like an 8 and try to hit high. Uppers have come very comfortable for me.
Okay. Will you change that depending on the target? Like a deer, I know it's not quite as low that you would have to hold. Or do you just go uppers now all the time?
It does change from target to target depending on where other guys put their arrows. If I have something to aim at a lower and I feel comfortable aiming there, I can see it just plain as day. Yeah, I'll shoot lowers. But most of the time I'll probably call anywhere from 13 to 15, maybe uppers and around.
Right. And so the other thing is you shoot a thumb trigger and you are not shy about saying you shoot it command style. When it's ready, you hit it. Not hit it, but.
Oh yeah, I hit it. you could call it that. It's set pretty light. I've gotten used to where my thumb is actually on the barrel itself, and it doesn't. I won't make it go off. Hopefully, I won't make it go off before I need to. But gotten very comfortable with actually having a subconscious shot process. Just being patient. Being patient is probably the biggest thing. Not getting in too big of a hurry. Cause if you get too big of a hurry, you're not focusing, as much as you should, I think. So being patient and let your pin get exactly where you want it. I shoot, 12 ounces up front and 29 in the back. So I've got a little bit of weight on there to try to slow down my pin and my bow movement itself. So my pin's not like fluttering all over the place, but, my bow is moving really slow, so I can kind of be patient and wait till it gets right where I want it, or at least close.
It seems like one of the trends lately seems to be when you guys with the thumb buttons and who shoot them like that, when you guys get on, you, Kyle Douglas is another one who shoots that style. You guys are pretty hard to beat.
Yeah, I know Jimmy Lutz does the same thing.
Jimmy Lutz, yeah, yeah.
He's a great shot, so. It's something to where, like, when it feels comfortable, it feels comfortable. But, I'm in awe of sometimes, people shooting the hinge releases and how they can shoot so accurate. Cause I try to do that. I practice with a hinge sometimes to try to help myself focus a little bit more. But they do it shot after shot after shot, and they can kill it. And if I tried to do that, it wouldn't be as good. That's probably why I don't shoot it, because my shot timing isn't where I want it. Sometimes I'll hold real still for like 3 seconds. Sometimes I'll hold real still for 6 or 7. So just inconsistent for me, but I feel more comfortable with the thumb button myself.
Is it just something in your brain that says when the pin is sitting there, that just tells you, okay, now?
Yes, and I try to get it in the same spot. I try not to get it just close. I try to let it just get where it needs to be. So it's something that changes on 3D targets, because depending on if they have it facing left to right or right to left, the 12 rings are facing in a different direction, because they're like, I want to say like 8 to 2 at a diagonal angle pretty much. So depending on what way they have the target facing, it might feel a little different. But then again, I just try to find the smallest spot. I try not to focus on anything else. It's just the smallest spot, and that's the only thing that matters.
All right, two questions. First off, what is your pin size?
10 thousandths blue. Okay.
10 thousandths. All right, so we're going small. And your scope, your lens magnification, what's that?
6 power.
6 power, okay. So 20 yards, you can see pretty, you can, and especially with that 10,000, you can really get fine detail.
Yes. Yeah. I can see the X pretty well. Mm-hmm.
The thumb button you shoot, I forget which one that you shoot.
I shoot the TrueBall Goat.
TrueBall Goat. Okay. And mm-hmm. you said you set that trigger pretty light. When you shoot a hinge, is that the one you shoot? You just convert it over to the hinge release?
I have a couple goats. I have one more set up on thumb button just in case anything were to happen. I have a good backup set really close to the same way. And I have a one set up for hinge. So when I want to grab it, I can, and just practice and make myself slow down or pay attention just a little bit more. It'll help me a little bit.
Gotcha. So this year is kind of weird. You know, we're still things getting shaken up. We had the Rushmore Rumble first indoor tournament. Now next week you're going to go out to Foley to shoot ASA. And then we have indoor nationals in Vegas before the next ASA. Are you planning to shoot both of those? What's your schedule look like?
Yeah, I'm going to plan on shooting them. I'm going to try to plan on shooting several things this year. Indoor Nationals a couple weeks after Foley. Try to shoot all the ASAs. Going to go to Vegas in April. Hopefully they'll still have that. Nothing will happen. Let's see. I want to say there was another one, but I can't remember.
Reading? You going to do Reading?
Probably not. Okay. That wasn't on my list at the moment. Just with everything going on right now, but
gotcha. Or OPA, if they have that. I haven't heard anything about OPA.
Maybe. We'll just have to see when that time comes.
Yeah. USA Archery, any of that stuff, 50 meter.
Gator Cup has been, on my mind, just because it's, a little closer to home than most, but, Gator Cup might be a possibility. Just have to make sure they're going to have it when they're going to have it, and make sure the schedule is good and everything.
Yeah, yeah. What's your goals? I mean, I would have to imagine Vegas is on your list, but what's out there yet that you want to do in archery?
Vegas is at the top, but I mean, that's going to be something I'll have to be patient about and just shoot and try not to look too far ahead. Gotcha. The next thing we got is Foley, but that's kind of what my mind is set on right now. But we'll have to swap from 3D back to indoor for indoor nationals, then back to 3D, and then back to indoor. So it'll be a little different this year, just because usually Vegas is before all the 3D stuff starts.
Right.
It'll be a little interesting this year.
Does that mess with you at all, having to go 3D indoor, 3D indoor?
Not necessarily, because I have the sight marks on my side as far as like on the etched side of it. And I shoot indoor 20 yards. So pretty much that's what I'm doing all the time. So hopefully, I mean, that won't affect anything.
Right. Lancaster Archery Classic, I would think that would fit your style of shooting with the head-to-head competition too.
Yeah, that was, I did that for the first time, last year, and that was a lot of fun. I'll definitely be doing that, every chance I get. Making the shoot up the first time I went was definitely something I didn't expect, but, hopefully we'll do better next time, because my nerves have never been that bad before.
Is that right?
I felt like everybody could see my legs shaking. It was something else standing on that stage. So hopefully I'll get another chance.
That's awesome. You work at the archery shop, Archery Unlimited, there in Alabama. Tell us how that's been, especially now. I got to imagine that you got to be building some kind of following there now with people. Certainly they know who you are by now.
They do. There's a lot of people that come into the shop every day, shoot their bows and all that. And then there's a lot of guys that just hunt pretty much that are following, which is pretty crazy. But some of them are actually starting to get into 3D shooting and everything. But trying to get used to everybody that comes in that I didn't know who was paying attention, but they come in and say something about it. I'm like, dang, I didn't know you were watching too.
Well, now, so you probably have heard now going forward this season here, all of the cam broadcasts of the Pro Pressure Point Pro Shootdowns are going to be on the Sportsman's Channel. So bigger audience. We're talking millions of viewers here. Have you thought about that?
Thanks for reminding me of that. Hopefully I'll get the opportunity to do that. So we'll see.
Have you thought about that at all? About the now, you know, national exposure like that?
I did. It's I think it's going to be really good for the sport too.
Right. Definitely. Your bow.
All right. So the bow I shot this past weekend is actually in front of me. It's the TRX 38 Gen 2. Shoot Excel with a Zebra's light kit on it. Shrewd housing. It's a MV2 version of the housing. I actually shot it this past weekend. So they released it
the new
Thursday
one.
Or Friday.
Yeah.
And, that's actually what I was shooting this past weekend. Had a Hamsky Trinity target rest on there. Shrewd Rev-X stabilizers with the Shrewd Atlas mount on here. 12 ounces on the front, 29 on the back, 10-inch back bar, 30-inch front bar. I'll say the biggest thing that's probably made a good difference has been the grip, the Matthew side plates that I'm shooting, the Engage side plates. And I have a little grip tape back here on the backside. So when palms are sweaty or it's very humid outside in Alabama and it's just a wet air and your hands get sweaty and all that from being hot, that little grip tape there helps my hand not slide around at all.
You just have the single strip on the face there rather than wrapping it around, correct?
Correct. Yeah. Okay. It's like a half inch wide, just running right down the back of the grip where
gotcha.
You hold it.
Yeah, yeah. And for your arrows for 3D, well, indoor first, you said you're shooting a 27s. Mm-hmm. Eastons, I'm imagining.
I do. The Easton Superdrive 27s. They're 200 grain point, 28 inches long. I have the Tac Vane driver 3.75s on the indoor arrow. And for 3D, I'll shoot the Superdrive 25 with Tac Vane's, the driver 2.75 with a Easton 3D Super Knock, 125 grain point, cut 26 inches, only shooting 64 pounds, holding 21. So my speed's probably somewhere around mid 270s. Something like that. So
okay.
Not really worried about speed, just because we don't have to worry about arrow drop from misjudging a distance, because we can use a rangefinder, know how far the distance is, set our sight. So really it's just finding our spot and hitting our spot.
And so you feel comfortable, obviously, like let's say you're shooting the max distance 50-yard target. If your bow were a little faster, you know, you could have a little bit of mistakes in there, you know, with the faster arrow speed, but you're not worried about that. You're not going to make that mistake.
Not anymore. 2 years ago, I shot 70 pounds, but last year I shot 64, and this year I'll shoot 64 again. But I can probably get maybe around mid-280s, something like that. But I have a shorter draw. It's only 27 and 7/8, so I don't have a 29, 30, 30 and a half inch draw to get some speed. So
right.
Not too worried about speed too much.
Gotcha. On the ASA circuit, do you have a favorite venue? Is one of those, you know, you like more than others?
I don't know. I would say that Metropolis I do like because we have some family friends that live up there. So it's a good time going up to Metropolis. They live in Paducah. So, and then, but Foley, Foley's been one I haven't shot too good at, but it's super close. It's probably one of the closer ones to us. But living in Alabama, we have actually a few close ones. We've got Coleman, Fort Benning over there, and then we have Foley down south. So we've got a couple close ones, really all the close ones.
I guess I should ask, is maybe on the flip side, is there one that is just your arch nemesis? Man, you're like, oh.
Foley.
I'll say, oh, a Foley,
usually,
okay.
Usually it's the first one of the year, so, but we had Foley for the Classic last year, so, and I made the shoot down at that, so hopefully that Foley thing is over with.
Gotcha. I don't know why. It seems like whenever I ask which one people like the least, London always seems to come up as like, London, that one's always got my number.
London's dark, and if you're on the power lines, you're aiming up and downhill, but that one, you just kind of have to roll with it. It's tough sometimes, but I don't mind that one too much.
Yeah. With your shooting schedule and you're getting practice, you know, for these tournaments, how does that work with your work schedule at the archery shop?
So practice for the tournaments is just simply showing up early before we open and then staying late sometimes, getting a few rounds in here and there. Try to go in every day. Every day we open. We're open Monday through Saturday, only close on Sunday. So I'll shoot 5 or 6 times a week.
Okay. And are you one of those guys where you feel like you got to shoot every day and a ton of hours, or what's your practice? What do you feel comfortable with?
I do feel like I'm one of those ones that has to shoot every day or has to shoot quite a bit. Maybe not a lot at one time, because usually it'll take me a couple hours to shoot 3 or 4 rounds, 5 rounds. So sometimes I don't spend that much time in there just because I'll come home and everything. Because I work all day and I'll come home and spend some time with my wife and spend some time here. But I do feel like I have to shoot a good bit. I don't really take a whole lot of time off. Like I don't know when the last time was. I took like a month off of shooting. I tried that this past year just because after the Classic, I tried it. It just felt weird not shooting my bow because I like doing it so much.
I was going to ask, is it because of that? Just because you like doing it?
I just like doing it. Something about pulling it back and focusing on your shot makes me forget about just everything else going on. Sometimes the hardest part is staying focused, but just shooting over and over is something I like to do.
Yeah. Now the Matthews bows, that's who you're shooting for. What is it about them that you like that fits your shooting style?
Just the way they hold and the way they feel. They tune very easy with the top hat kits that they have, the way you can shim the cam left and right. No washers. Don't have to hold a washer in place with an axle and try to line it up and all that. Top hat is a machined aluminum tube that goes in the limb. And there's 6 different sizes. You do have to match the pairs together, but you can shim it left and right to help tune your bow pretty much and help that arrow fly a little straighter. So super easy. The Last Chance Archery Press is probably the easiest thing to use with it as well, just because the way it fits in the limbs. But the way it tunes and the way it holds for me is probably the reason I like it the most.
Do you find with the top hats, do you find that there's one setup that you always go to, or are all your bows different?
I haven't really paid attention to it. I shoot it through paper after I get my center shot and then just go from there. I just try to, cause I know every bow is different as far as like, even if you build it right next to each other, same day and everything, right off the machine press and all that. Tolerances are different, even though you got them the same. One will hold better than the other, even if you have everything right on it. Just how it happens, I guess. But I'm not real worried about having everything the same, but the biggest thing that I focus on is going to be holding weight and draw length is really what I focused on the past couple of years.
Gotcha. That draw length, I think you said 27 and...
7/8
7/8 Okay. What is it about that that you think is working for you? Why is that the sweet spot? Like what would happen if you went to 28?
My pin would just start to float around a little bit more. Like the way it actually floats around the target, it would get a little bit bigger. I wouldn't be able to hold it as still as just a little bit shorter. So just groups open up a little bit more, especially when you start shooting a little bit more distance and everything like that. But I've never had a coach to really work with me on that stuff. Never paid anybody to actually teach me or anything. So it actually took a little while just trying a bunch of different things. And this is just where I've landed. And hopefully it'll keep working. That's where I'm going to try to make it stay.
Yeah, I was going to say that, I mean, really the only way to figure that out is to just try it. I'm sure you've tried 28 and tried 27 and a half and everything, you know, all over the place probably.
Right. Because, I mean, shooting a thumb button, I mean, if I wanted to shoot a 30-inch draw, I could just make it work. But over time, it would just get very tiring and I'd get frustrated. But, I mean, having something that just is makes it easier for you will just make it work out a lot better.
Gotcha. All right. So coming into the ASA season, who are you looking for? Do you have any predictions this year for who's going to be going nuts this year? Who's going to really come on strong? And there's so many guys there, but I'm wondering, you see them, you know how they shoot. If you got any gut feeling like, I better watch this guy this year.
There's so many guys. I mean, there's 20, 25 guys that can just tear it up. I mean, especially people that have been doing it for their career, like Jesse Chance and guys like that, Chris Perkins and everybody. But those guys could just turn it on at any moment. They can do it day in and day out. But probably the guys that I'll be focused on more, probably Brady Hempen, Curtis, just because they were on that final stake last year for Shooter of the Year with me. So those guys I expect to do it again.
Yeah, it was interesting. Of the finalists in, I can't remember if it was Coleman or the Classic. It must have been Coleman. Yeah, it was Jace Bowles, Curtis, Brady, you, and Ballingy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it was like, I mean, you were the old man of the group, and yet you're only, what, 24, 25?
Yeah. I'm 27.
27, okay.
I'll be 28 in June.
Gotcha, yeah. Yeah, there's some, like you said, there's some guys who've been around for a while who could catch fire anytime, but then there's these young guys coming up behind.
Yeah, I mean, it's something else. I mean, I think archery is in a good place right now as far as young people coming into it. So I don't think they're going anywhere anytime soon.
Gotcha.
It's fun to shoot with them too. I've made some good friends shooting a bow.
Yeah, they all seem like good people. I mean, everybody we see out there seems like good people. And that's not an issue. But I have to ask, you know, I don't want to step in the mud or anything, but there's always the known pro unknown game out there. You've obviously chosen the known game. You know, we like to see them all. I personally, unknown, known, I don't care. I like to see both of them in there. But for the known game, how come that's the one you picked?
That's the one I picked just because when I was first getting into archery and everything like that, I would shoot the tournaments. I'd shoot the unknown distance, the 30-yard class when I first got into it, and I could judge then. And then we got to 40, it got a little harder. But once we got to 50, I would just be off by a couple yards on several shots. And I don't have targets. I don't spend a whole lot of time judging. I'm inside almost all day, every day. So working in the shop. So I don't have a whole lot of time to go out and judge. So gotcha. Just using a rangefinder and having that opportunity, and glad to have that class that we can use a rangefinder.
So knowing what it takes for you to do what you do, what do you think when you look over at a Levi, Dan, who are, you know, making some of those shots and they don't know how far it is?
It's amazing. It's definitely fun to watch because if I stood up there, I'd probably miss 3 out of 6 shots. So it's pretty awesome to see them actually like judge a target down to like half a yard or yard and get it. And it could be 49 and a half yards and that's what they're going to put it. And they'll drill it too. So they're amazing to watch. It's definitely something else.
We were doing a photo shoot with Levi once out at his house, and he and Samantha were both shooting, and you know, they were kind of doing their thing. And Samantha, I'll never forget that Samantha judged a yard, and Levi was like, no, that's a half yard farther than that. And I was like, I don't know that would matter for me in shooting it, but let alone being able to tell that difference.
Yeah. I mean, for someone to say it's like half a yard, I'm like, well, I mean, I'm like 3 yards off. So It's definitely something else.
That's a good
day. They definitely have an extra talent to be able to do that.
If I'm within a half yard, I'm high-fiving myself. I'm thinking, yeah, I got it.
Yeah, I'll do that maybe like twice for a 20-target course. So doesn't happen very often for me.
Perfect. Well, all right, Robert, was there anything we didn't talk about that you wanted to talk about? Any subject we didn't hit on there? We hit a good time.
Not really. Not too much. I just want to give a shout out to my wife and just thank her for always being here and being so supportive and being there by my side and looking forward to this next chapter in life that we have coming with a baby. So.
Absolutely. She was there at the Classic, as I recall, on your last target.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was. So having her there and supporting me and having some of my family there, like my parents, and sometimes her parents actually come out too. So it's a good family atmosphere as well. Yeah. Even from competitor to competitor, it's friendly. It's a family feeling. We're always willing to help each other and all that, even though it's a competition and stuff. I always want everybody to do good because I don't want it to just be given or anything like that. So just very blessed and very fortunate that God has given us this opportunity, and we're just going to keep faith and just roll with it and see what happens.
All right, folks, that is another episode of the Competition Archery Media Podcast. Robert Householder, congrats on Rushmore Rumble. We look forward to seeing you at Foley next week, and thanks for taking time to be here today.
Thank you very much, PJ. It was a blast.
All right. Again, folks, Competition Archery Media Podcast, you can find that on all the platforms where you find your favorite podcasts. Thanks for being with us.